Although some politicians allege that voting by mail is susceptible to fraud and error, many experts, including the Brookings Institution's Elaine Kmark, assert that the safest and most secure way to vote in a pandemic is by mail. Kmark, with the help of several Harvard students, recently conducted a pandemic election preparedness survey of 50 states and the District of Columbia. The result was a state-by-state scorecard on how easy it is or isn't to vote by mail in the 2020 general election. Elaine Kmark is a senior fellow in the Governance Study Program, as well as founding director of the Center for Effective Public Management at the Brookings Institution. She is an expert on American electoral politics and lectures at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. But presidential politics is not just an academic pursuit for Elaine Kmark. She has participated in 4 presidential campaigns and 10 nominating conventions. Welcome, Elaine.
Thank you for having me.
Let's jump right in and talk about the state-by-state scorecard on voting by mail and this time of COVID-19. Tell us about the scorecard generally and how it works.
When we looked at every single state in the United States and asked ourselves, okay, what procedures, laws, practices in those states would make it easiest for a voter to vote safely by mail in the middle of a pandemic? Because as you well know, this COVID-19 is not over yet, and some people think with the cold weather in some parts of the country, it's going to get even worse by Election Day. So we looked at everything from how easy is it to get an absentee ballot, how easy is it to return that ballot, to some states where everybody simply gets a ballot without having to even apply for it, or every registered voter, that is, gets a ballot. And we developed a scorecard from A to F. And we're pleased to say that over the course, with the first time we published this was in June, and from June to now, there's a lot of states that have improved their scores because they've made changes either to their laws or their regulation or their practice that will make it easier for voters to vote safely by mail in November.
I would note that most of the states which received an A grade on your absentee voting scorecard are from the West. What makes an A state, and why are the A states predominantly from the West, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, and Washington?
Well, an A state is almost always a state where every registered voter is sent a ballot. These are what we call universal vote-by-mail states. This system was invented, in fact, in Oregon 2 decades ago. So Oregon has been using this for 20 years, very safely, by the way, almost no fraud, et cetera. So it's been a great success in Oregon. And other Western states have looked at Oregon and said, hey, we should do that too. It's convenient for the voters. It is less costly for the state because you don't need as many in-person polling places. And mostly the voters just love it. So a lot of Western states, I think, have looked to their neighbors and said, hey, we can do that too. A handful of Eastern states have also adopted it. Vermont and the District of Columbia are going to be universal vote-by-mail states. Now, those are the easiest states to vote in a pandemic for one reason and one reason only. If you are a registered voter, you don't have to remember to apply for an absentee ballot. And that takes away one very important step.
Now, at the other end of the spectrum, Alabama, I believe, is the only state with an F grade in your rating system, followed by 9 or so states with a D rating. What did Alabama and the grade D states do to deserve their poor grades when it comes to ease of voting by mail?
Alabama makes it very difficult to vote by mail, particularly in a pandemic, because they require that the ballot be notarized. Now, if anybody's ever gone to get a notary public you know, on a legal document, you know, you got to kind of search around and you got to go to a bank or you got to find a law office or someplace where there's a notary. Well, imagine an elderly person who's afraid of getting COVID trying to do that for their ballot. It just makes it extremely difficult. And they're the only state that is doing that. Other states had those requirements, have gotten rid of them. Other states that don't do so well are states that tend to require an excuse to get an absentee ballot. You have to have a medical excuse. You have to show you're going to be out of the country, something like that. And that's really onerous for the person seeking to get the ballot. Most states have moved away from that. Most states have moved to what we call no excuse absentee ballots. You simply say, I want an absentee ballot, and you don't have to have, you know, a doctor's orders or, you know, a ticket out of town, right,
right,
to get your absentee ballot.
Okay. Now, as we might expect, the majority of states got B and C grades on the scale of how easy it is or isn't to vote by mail during the current pandemic. Explain, if you will, the pluses and minuses of the B and C states. I would point out to our listeners that New Mexico received a C grade.
Well, the biggest difference between the B and C states is that in the B states, the state will send out an application for an absentee ballot to everyone in the state. One step that the voter might forget about is taken care of by the state. If you're a registered voter, you're going to get something that says, if you want an absentee ballot, please fill out this form, and then you'll get one. And again, when we started this project, there weren't too many states that were doing that. Now there's an increasing number of states that are sending out the absentee ballot application. The other difference is that in a lot of the B states, there are multiple ways to file your ballot. You can send it in the mail, which, you know, if you don't do it well ahead of time, could result in your ballot not getting there in time. But other states are adopting special drop boxes for ballots, so you can just bring your ballot and drop it, you know, in a box. And that's good. Someplace, these are guarded boxes, by the way. These are not subject to fraud. These are like mailboxes with felony penalties for messing with them, just like there are felony penalties for messing with the U.S. mail. So there's a variety of things that the B states have done that will make it easier to for somebody with a vote by to vote by mail.
Well, let's drill down on some of the issues that we expect to face in the 2020 general election. What is your reaction to allegations that voting by mail is a procedure wrought with the potential for fraud?
There have been a lot of states that have used vote by mail in the past, and we've never seen any evidence of that. In fact, a right-wing think tank, the Heritage Foundation, did a study of all the prosecutions they could find for absentee ballot fraud, vote by mail fraud. And I'll give you an example. In the state of Oregon, they looked over the 20-year period.
Okay.
Over that 20 years, there were 15 or 18, I can't remember exactly, prosecutions involving one vote. And over that period of time, there were 15 million votes cast. So if you do the math, you're coming out with a fraud rate of 0.00000 something. Right? And that's the extent of the fraud. There's a lot of ways to protect against fraud. And let me give you the two biggest ones.
Okay.
First of all, the allegation is made that, well, anybody like Russia or China can just print up ballots and send them out to all the voters and we'd have all these fraudulent ballots. Well, ballots, if you think about your own voting, yes, we have the presidency on the ballot. You also have a senator that's different from state to state. You have a member of the House of Representatives different from state to state. You have a mayor that's going to be different from county to county. You have county commissioners and registrars of wills and all sorts of other offices on even a presidential ballot. So think about this. We've got over 3,000 counties in the United States. Every ballot is going to be different. So the Chinese are not going to be able to figure out how to correctly spell and get the names of all the different people on all the different ballots. Secondly, the ballots are printed on special paper, and the return ballots absentee are barcoded. Okay, and finally, there are signatures. There, you have to sign your absentee ballot, and the signature on your ballot has to match the signature on your voter registration form, which the counties and the states keep records of. And the people who count the ballots, the election officials in these places, they'll pretty much figure out if it's a fake ballot.
Now, what about people who still want to show up in person to vote on Election Day? Are there stumbling blocks for those people?
Well, the biggest stumbling block for those people is that there will probably be fewer polling places than there have been in the past, just because of the sheer number of people voting by mail. So you might have to wait a little bit longer. But it shouldn't be any different than what we're all accustomed to now in going to the grocery store. You know, you're going to have to wear your mask. They'll make you wait 6 feet apart from each other. They'll limit the number of people in the building at any one time. There'll be plexiglass barriers for the poll workers and disposable pens and pencils for people for when you're, you know, if you have to pencil mark a ballot.
Why do you think absentee voting has become so polarized, especially in light of the fact that it has proven successful, as you've pointed out, for many years in states with both Republican and Democratic governors and secretaries of state?
There's one reason, Donald Trump.
Okay.
Trump decided, for reasons that are a little bit weird and hard to figure because there's Republicans on these ballots, too, who need absentee ballots. But Trump decided to go after mail-in ballots. Now, frankly,
even though he votes that way himself.
Even though he votes that way himself. And he's totally confused the issue in the minds of voters. He really meant to go after states like Oregon that do universal vote by mail. He, for some reason, decided that these states, which mostly tend to be Democratic states, somehow that they have a lot of problems with voting by mail. The problem is that they've done it for years and there weren't any problems. And I think in the course of that, he then confused voting by mail in the all-mail state with voting absentee. Now he's trying to say, oh, absentee balloting is okay because he does that in Florida. And he has actually said in Florida that, oh, Florida has a great system and people should vote absentee. Because Florida is a state with a lot of elderly people and they do vote absentee. And they're certainly not going to want to go to a polling place in November if the virus is raging. So he's really confused this and then turned it into a totally partisan issue, which it has never been in the past. There's never been any evidence that absentee ballots favored Democrats over Republicans.
Would it be accurate to say, and I think I saw a chart in the New York Times the other day, that so far in election 2020, more Democrats have requested absentee ballots than have Republicans?
Prior to 2020, right, there's never any evidence that this was a Democratic or Republican thing. Trump made it a partisan issue. So now, you're completely right. Now, Democrats are planning to vote absentee and Republicans are planning to vote in person. And that could set up a very confusing election night if people jump the gun and try to declare a winner in a state before all the ballots are counted.
Right. Do you think the Postal Service is up to the task of making sure that both requests for ballots and ballots themselves are mailed out in a timely way so that every ballot is counted?
Yeah, they can do the job. Look, the Postal Service delivers 472 million pieces of mail every day. Now, the most we are likely to have in ballots in November is about 150 million. So that's already a fraction of the delivery every day. And let's assume, most of us are assuming, that about 50% of those will be by mail. So we're talking about, say, half of 150 million. The mail deals with more extra mail at Christmas every year than it will this election.
Oh, good point.
So basically all the cost-cutting measures that were making people suspicious about the real motives behind the post office's actions have been reversed. It still behooves the citizen, however, to, you know, get your, don't wait till, you know, Monday night, right?
<That's>
get your ballot in ahead of time, right? Because we do know that even in the best of times, that sometimes the mail gets screwed up. So definitely you got to do it early.
We started to talk about election night just a little bit. Help our listeners understand why November 3rd might not look like other presidential election nights.
It all depends on how quickly states can count the absentee ballots. And again, state law is all over the place. Florida, interestingly enough, starts counting absentee ballots 22 days before Election Day.
Interesting.
So what that means is when they have election night returns, they're probably going to have pretty much 100% of the vote in, and then it's just a matter of counting it as it usually is. There are other states that are in legal battles to try to as to when they begin counting. There are some states, New Hampshire doesn't let you count ballots until the polls have closed on election night. So it's really going to depend on the state and when they start counting the ballots. And right now there's a lot of court fights going on over this. But the bottom line here is look, if it's close, everything matters. It'll be very difficult. We might be waiting for a week, you know, to get every single ballot cast. If it's not close, they'll be able to call it on election night.
Thanks very much, Elaine K. Mark, political expert at the Brookings Institution. For KSFR, I'm Mary Lou Cooper.